A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
I just want to correct something. The rear seatbelt effect was recently passed. It went into effect November 1st of 2020. It escaped me during COVID. But now Connecticut is catching up with New York. So if you're traveling in Connecticut and New York between the two, as of Friday, you must put your seatbelt on, even if you're in the rear seat. You've always had to put it on in the front seat, and certainly as a driver or as a passenger, but now in the rear seat as well. This is, as they say, quote, for your own good. Joining us right now is Wayne Winston. Every week we gather to talk about conversations involving race. Today is no exception. One of the top conversations right now centers on this. Have a listen.
I remember back in the beginning when the governor issued a statement about the tragic death of George Floyd. And in that, he was on a video, he spoke, and after the video ended, it scrolled, and he had a shirt on that says, "I can't breathe." Madam Speaker, our children can't breathe. They cannot breathe in school with these masks on.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was right. That was Gail, I think her name is Mastro Franco. I'll get that right. And Masco Francesco, thank you. And she's a Republican from Wallingford, and she was speaking. These are her words, and Wolcott Southington. I always confuse Wallingford and Wolcott, and they're not the same. Wolcott is way a different part of this the state. Wolcott Southington, and she's a Republican, and this was her statement that she made, basically trying to implore people to reconsider the mask mandate for kids in school. That statement, Wayne Winston, generated an awful lot of angst and agitation and anger amongst members of the Black and Puerto Rican caucus of the state of Connecticut, who are demanding that she apologize. Thus far, she has not, that I have seen. So, Wayne, that elicited a wow from you. What are your thoughts?
You know, so much that we talk about on this show, moments like this remind me of why it's important. It doesn't take, you know, a Derek Chauvin and a George Floyd every day to understand that racism is damaging, and also that people don't get it. To refresh everyone's memory, that the reason that you hear "I can't breathe" was not from George Floyd. It was from Eric Garner, who was killed in New York. And I've met the Garner family, and they're very happy what happened with George Floyd as a catalyst, but earlier issues like this, it came from him saying, "I can't breathe," when police officers jumped on his neck and they started choking him because he's a big guy. And there's a video. You can just look up Eric Garner, once again in Google, and you'll see the video where a pretty small cop jumps up behind him and has his arm around his neck to bring him down. Now, the reason they were arresting him was he was supposed to be selling loose cigarettes, cigarettes in Times Square. And note, he wasn't even selling them that day. And there was also on the site an EMT who didn't do his job, and Eric Garner died. He was a big guy. And they said, "Hey, it was because, heart attack.
But you know what, Wayne, it wasn't Times Square. He was standing on a corner in Staten Island.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are correct.
That's all right. That's okay. That's all right.
And that's a tragedy wherever you are, just to just stop this guy and then choke him. So when I hear a legislator who's in Connecticut can parent it to a mask mandate, this man lost his life. No one lost their life from wearing a mask. That was a protest against a system that said this man's life, Black Lives Matters. So that's why you shouldn't do that as a police officer or anybody. And she's comparing that. Of course, it is an insult to anyone with any common sense, any decency. It was part of the reason that people were marching across the country even before George Floyd. So this person, not only do they need to apologize, they really need to stop and figure out what we're trying to do in this country, because they clearly aren't getting the context of what people are fighting for and what they march for and what we're still trying to do with police reform and these crazy CRT things we're going through. It falls very much into that. And if you think that that is connected to a mask, shame on you, because you've insulted everybody in this country.
Do you know Bobby Gibson? He is the BPRC vice chair and state rep. Do you know him, Wayne?
You know what? I have met him a couple times. I can't say I know him very well.
Well, he said, as an educator, I take offense to her insensitivity and lack of understanding of the sufferings of people of color in this country, and the BPRC is demanding an apology. He also said her remarks were insensitive and disgusting. Do you know Geraldo Reyes? He's the chair of the BPRC and another state rep.
Yes.
Do you know who he is? You
yes.
know him?
Yes.
He said basically what you're saying. Let's not confuse the murder of an innocent man with an inconvenience that could potentially save your life. Right. So, sometimes when people say stuff, it's sort of breathtakingly dumb. It's like when Marjorie Taylor Greene compared the carrying of any kind of proof of vaccination with Jews having to wear a yellow star in the 1930s in Germany, which meant that they were going to be rounded up eventually and killed in concentration camps. And she was so-called forced to make an apology. I'm not even sure she did, or if she did, it was coming from a place of ignorance, because she's an ignorant woman. This woman just basically showed us how ignorant she is. That's what this woman Gail did.
I think there's two sides to that.
More than ignorant. It's profoundly yes. disturbing when you have people that are in leadership roles that make public policy decisions making an analogy like this. It's profoundly disturbing.
And there's usually people around them that they talk to before they make a public statement, and especially Marjorie Taylor Greene's. I think that there are people that are plugging into that subconscious hatred that they're projecting, and they want to just fall back on, oh, it was a political mistake. It was a misunderstanding. Jumping back over to here, she's like, I saw the governor wearing an I Can't Breathe t-shirt. I mean, how long did you have to figure out between then and now what that t-shirt meant? Because this wasn't just yesterday. It was part of the whole movement across the country where it was Black Lives Matters and I Can't Breathe. So the governor was right in line with the people that he was representing, the majority of people in this state and in this country who are not black. We're just 13% of this country. And yet we moved it. And people get it. So think about what you say and do your research on what you say. And just as earlier, there was an issue in Times Square, and I've confused those two. Thank you for that correction, because, yes, it was Long Island. No one gets it right all the time, but something
That's
like
right.
that, which is a total misinterpretation, it's a whole nother
right.
page. You're on a whole nother
right.
block. That's often not by accident. You're trying to make a point because you're digging in for those people who are part of your constituency who want to hear you say things like that. And you're able to cover it by some whitewash on the other side, so to speak.
Yeah.
And
you're
I hope she does apologize.
Me too. 203-333-9422 is our number. In other stories that also have an impact on race and our conversation every week, Hartford City Council voted unanimously, 8-0, to replace the Columbus holiday name with the Indigenous Peoples Day name. That was not obvious that it would be without controversy. Hartford has decided to celebrate its first Indigenous Peoples Day in place of Columbus Day next month. The city council decided on Monday. They renamed the holiday at the recommendation of a city task force that said that there was widespread support among Hartford residents to spend the second Monday of October honoring Native peoples rather than a, quote, colonizer who oppressed them. 8-0. And they noted in the discussion that present-day Hartford was first inhabited by the Saukiog tribe, S-A-U-K-I-O-G. It looks a little bit like Saugatuck. I wonder if it's similar to the original name of Saugatuck. Anyway, which is, of course, the Saugatuck River. The ad hoc Columbus Task Force, which included some Democratic city members, said it would be meaningful to raise a monument to indigenous people in the small city park in front of the Connecticut Superior Courthouse. So, I don't know. In the meantime, a bronze statue of Christopher Columbus had stood there for nearly 100 years before the city removed it in June 2020. And at that time, only 23% of respondents thought the Columbus statue should be moved. And frankly, they still don't know what they're going to do with the statue. But they have renamed the day. The day is going to be called not Columbus Day anymore, at least in Hartford. It'll be called Indigenous Peoples Day. What's your reaction to that, Wayne Winston? What do you think about that?
Well, here in Bridgeport, we had a similar situation, and it wound up with the Columbus statue being removed from Seaside Park. And, you know, I was a part of that as well. And, you know, we had a number of great people. And, I mean, my Italian brothers, I thoroughly understand. You know, you feel some kind of way about something that you're taught. But this goes back to the educational process that we have now in this country. And I hate to go back to the whole CRT thing where they're trying to use a college program that basically lawyers use and figure out how racism has affected us across the country as a deep dive and use that as a reason that we shouldn't talk about race in our grammar schools, in our high schools, through the teaching of the stories of what America went through, the traumatic issues such as the slavery and Reconstruction and Juneteenth and all of these things. And here we are having this discussion now about Columbus. If that information was not clear and available, that never could have happened. So I think that's exactly hats off to Hartford, and hopefully we'll be able to follow that.
We'll be right back. Wayne Winston talks with us on Wednesdays about race. You're welcome to be part of the conversation, agree or disagree. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.
A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Wayne. Wait, we're chatting with Wayne Winston. Wayne, I don't know if you heard the last hour of the show, but it was breaking news. Actually, I think you know about it because you're one of the people that sent it to me, that YouTube is now dismantling its platform and it is taking away any anti-vaxxer information and anything by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or any of these people notable for telling people they shouldn't get vaccinated. I heartily disagree. It may, in fact, be legal, but I think it's completely wrong and a complete disavowal of American values. I want to read to you, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, but I want to read to you a statement that John F. Kennedy made, that one of our listeners sent to me, that I think is so important and should be really understood. And it's what he said. He's saying it a lot better than the way I said it. He said, quote, "We are not afraid to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, and competitive values. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people." And I think what YouTube did today showed that they're afraid of its people, and it's a terrible blow to free speech. What do you think?
You know, I think it is a slippery slope. Social media has made things very, very, very different. When our founding fathers wrote the Constitution and the freedom of speech, and I think it's based upon, you know, what they knew at the time. It was impossible to know that there would be something like a YouTube or a Instagram or Facebook where instantly you're able to convey an idea to millions of people, no matter how good or how bad or how crazy. And there's a lot of people who have conspiracy theories out there. And for the good of this country, I understand why they made it, because some of the people out there are saying the exact same things that just aren't true. You know, that if you take this vaccine, you know, that you're going to grow a horn on your head, or you'll be impotent, or you'll be
so sterile. What? So people... what, Wayne? So what? So what? So they say it. So what? Mm-hmm. Either you have a country with free speech or you don't. Either you're communist China or you're not. I don't want to be communist China. I don't want the thought police. I feel so strongly that they are so wrong in doing this. They really, and you know what's scary to me, Wayne, is that these are the people that are controlling the levers of speech right now. Okay, because it isn't the newspapers anymore. We're freedom of press. People understood. This is the press. This is the people. You're right. We can instantaneously say something true or false in a nanosecond. But by censoring ourselves, which is what YouTube is doing, they are censoring us and they are censoring the American people. They are saying they don't trust democracy. They don't trust people to be able to know truth versus falsehood. I don't want those people holding the levers of power in my country. I think that's more dangerous than the falsehood of the speech, because the speech is momentary. The speech is going to come. The speech is going to go. There are going to be crazies all together. But if we allow this as a precedent, if we allow people who control YouTube to shut down channels because they are spearheading falsehoods and conspiracy theories and crazy wacko things, I think you said it's a slippery slope. I think we've already gone down the sliding pole and we're ending up in the wrong place. I feel really strongly about this.
I can tell. And I think because of the health emergency, because this is about saving lives more than anything, this is unprecedented. We've never had a situation where we've had to become vaccinated, that will actually potentially save hundreds of millions of lives as we move forward, like generationally. Because this is dynamic. This virus is dynamic. We always have like a breakthrough. And I think they're just very desperate to try to protect Americans. I could think of a number of other places that they should not do it. I think this is a rare occasion where they're just trying to make the best decision to protect us. You know, when we had the Black Plague, you know, it wiped out generations in Europe, you know. But what could they do? There was no technology. There was no science to help them. Even we had the Spanish flu. Same thing, which actually wasn't from Spain, but it's the same thing. And here, we don't give people an opportunity to make a choice about measles or chickenpox.
But we do. But we do, Wayne. But we do. We do give them a choice. Yeah, we do. I mean, otherwise they can't go to school. You're right. But it's not about the vaccine, Wayne. And this is going to be a longer topic. We're going to be cut off. Mm. It's really about the speech about the vaccine. That's what I'm concerned about. All right, we'll talk about it again. I'm Lisa Wexler. I'm going to be back behind the mic on Monday. Have a great couple of days. Wish me a good wedding in Colorado. And enjoy Paul Pacelli up at 2. Thanks, Wayne Winston, for being on.